Ever glance at an airport screen and see, you know, those cryptic weather reports screen on the
Yeah.
ones pilots always seem to be talking about?
Right.
Today, we're going to decode those mysterious METARs.
Ooh, getting into the
Yeah,
nitty-gritty.
think of
Yeah.
METAR, like a.
You can think of a METAR like a secret code revealing real-time weather conditions at an airport, essential for pilots making critical decisions, you know, in the air.
So it's more than just knowing
Oh,
if it's raining, right? A
absolutely.
METAR paints a detailed picture
It does.
covering everything from wind speed and direction to visibility, cloud cover, and even hints at potential hazards like
Yes. Like wind shear.
wind shear. I'm picturing some kind of giant pair of scissors cutting through the wind.
Not quite, but it can feel that dramatic for a pilot.
Oh, really?
Wind shear is a sudden change in wind speed or direction. It can happen near the ground, like when wind swirls around buildings or higher up where wind speed changes with altitude.
So why is that
Good question.
so important for pilots to know about?
Imagine taking off, expecting a steady headwind, and suddenly it shifts or drops. You could lose lift, making takeoff or landing incredibly dangerous.
That sounds terrifying.
It can be.
So how would a pilot even know about wind shear
That's the
or
thing.
what happens?
METARs can offer clues, but they don't outright say wind shear. So pilots become experts at spotting patterns, like rapid changes in wind direction or speed reported in consecutive METARs. They also rely on radar and special wind shear detection systems for a clearer picture.
It's like they're piecing together a weather puzzle in a midair.
Exactly. And experience is key, learning to read those subtle cues. But let's break down the code itself. Every METAR starts with a unique station identifier, like a global airport address.
So instead of LAX
Right.
for Los Angeles International, we'd see
You'd see KX in the
TA.
contiguous US. It always starts with K, followed by the airport code. Alaska uses PA,
Oh, interesting.
Whitey PH, and other countries have their own system. It's a universal language for airports.
That makes sense. I've also noticed there's always a date and time attached.
Right.
And sometimes I see that letter Z. Is that some secret agent stuff?
Not quite. It's vital for coordination.
Really?
That Z stands for Zulu time,
Zulu
which
time?
is coordinated universal time, the same time zone everywhere in the world.
So why not just use the
Yeah.
airport's local time?
Imagine a flight leaving Tokyo using local time and arriving in London using theirs chaos. Zulu time keeps everyone synchronized,
Makes sense.
avoiding confusion and potential disasters.
That's really smart
It
when you
is.
think about how many flights are crisscrossing the globe.
Yep.
Okay, so we have
So,
the airport and the time.
right.
What else is packed into a METAR?
So you'll see if the report is auto,
Auto.
meaning generated by an automated system.
Okay.
And if it's core,
Core.
that means a human had to step in and make a correction.
So even with advanced technology,
Sometime?
sometimes you need a human eye to catch those details.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about those crucial wind details. It's reported with five numbers, sometimes six if the wind is really strong.
Strong, like
Strong.
strong.
If there are six numbers,
Six numbers.
the wind speed is over 99 knots.
Wow.
That's serious wind,
Yeah.
capable of causing significant turbulence. The first three numbers tell you the direction the wind is blowing from relative to true north.
So if I see a 140,
Yeah.
it means the wind is coming from 140 degrees.
Precisely. And the last one, two or three digits, give you the wind speed in knots. If you see a G followed by more numbers, that means there are gusts, sudden bursts of even stronger
So
wind.
now I not only know which way the wind is blowing, but
Yeah.
how strong it is, even if it's gusting,
Exactly.
and it's starting to feel like I can actually picture the conditions at the airport.
That's the beauty of METARs. They paint a vivid picture for pilots.
That's great.
And speaking of pictures, next up is visibility. Visibility, how far you can see horizontally, measured in statute miles.
That seems pretty straightforward.
It
The
is.
further you can see, the better, right?
Generally, yes. But low visibility makes landing much more challenging, sometimes even impossible.
What causes low visibility
So many things to
besides the obvious
consider.
things like fog and rain?
It could be heavy smoke from wildfires miles away, dust storms, even volcanic ash drifting across the flight path.
That's crazy.
Anything that obstructs a pilot's view, is crucial information in a METAR.
So it's not just about seeing a certain distance. It's about what you can see through.
It is.
I'm guessing that's where pilot experience comes in, knowing how those conditions might actually feel in the air.
Exactly.
So a METAR is just the starting point.
The starting point.
Pilots use their judgment and other tools.
And other tools.
To assess the real world impact of those visibility conditions.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've decoded the airport, the time, the wind, and how far you can see.
Right.
What's next in our METAR puzzle?
All right, let's see. Welcome back to our deep dive into METARs. We've covered a lot of ground already, from airport codes to wind shear, but there's still more to unravel.
I'm ready for more. It's amazing how much information is packed into these seemingly simple reports.
And we're just getting started.
Wow.
Remember how we talked about visibility being affected by things like fog, rain, and even volcanic ash?
Right.
Well, the next section of the METAR tells us exactly what kind of weather is happening at the airport.
That makes sense. It's not enough to just know how far you can see. You need to know what's causing the obstruction.
Precisely. And this is where the METAR gets really descriptive.
Okay.
You'll see abbreviations like RARE for rain, SN for snow, FG for fog.
Right.
It's like a shorthand weather dictionary.
So if I see FG, I know there's fog, but how do I know how thick it is?
That's where the intensity indicators come in.
Okay.
A minus sign means light.
Okay.
No symbol means moderate.
Got it.
And a plus sign, plus, means heavy.
Makes sense.
So RARE would be light rain, while plus SN would be heavy snow.
Okay, so a plus sign means it's time to pay attention.
It does.
What if I see something like TSRA? I'm guessing that's not good news for a pilot.
You're right to be concerned. TSRA stands for thunderstorm with rain. And if you see VCSH before it, that means showers in the vicinity.
Okay.
Usually within 5 to 10 miles of the airport.
So it's like a mini forecast within the METAR, giving pilots a heads up about approaching weather.
Exactly.
But what about those clouds?
Yeah.
I know they can affect visibility too.
Absolutely. The sky condition section of a METAR tells us about cloud cover and height. You'll see abbreviations like few.
Okay.
SCT, BKN, and OVC.
Right.
Which describe how much of the sky is covered by clouds.
So few would mean...
Few means there are just a few clouds
okay.
covering 18 to 28 of the sky.
Got it.
SCT stands for scattered clouds covering 38 to 48.
Okay.
BKN means broken clouds
okay.
covering 58 to 78.
All right.
And OVC means... overcast.
Overcast.
With the sky completely covered.
So if I see OVC, I know it's a cloudy day.
You got it.
But how high are those clouds?
That's where the numbers come in, after the abbreviation.
Okay.
You'll see a three-digit number representing the height of the cloud layer in hundreds of feet above ground level.
So BKN008 would mean?
That means there are broken clouds at 800 feet.
800 feet, okay.
And if you see something like OVC012CB.
OVC012CB.
It means overcast conditions at 1,200 feet.
Okay.
And those clouds are cumulonimbus, the big, powerful thunderclouds.
Those are the ones that bring the drama, right? Heavy rain, lightning, maybe even hail.
Exactly. Now imagine those dark... towering cumulonimbus clouds.
Wow.
Combined with low visibility and strong gusty winds. Suddenly, those seemingly simple abbreviations paint a very vivid and potentially challenging picture for pilots.
Yeah, it's like a weather story unfolding right before our eyes. But what about those wispy clouds high in the sky? I know they're not usually a threat to pilots, but are they mentioned in METARs?
You're right. Those high-altitude clouds, called cirrus clouds, aren't usually a direct concern for aviation safety.
Right.
But while METARs focus on conditions affecting flight operations, these high clouds can still be important for meteorologists.
How so?
Cirrus clouds can indicate changes in the upper atmosphere and potential shifts in weather patterns.
Interesting.
They're made of ice crystals and often have a feathery or hair-like appearance.
Okay.
While they don't directly affect visibility or flight conditions near the ground, they can be harbingers of things to come.
So even though they're not of a direct threat, they're still part of the bigger weather story.
Exactly. And speaking of bigger stories, remember those RMK remarks we mentioned earlier?
Right, right.
That section is where things can get really interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's like the bonus round of the METAR.
I like that.
Where we get all those extra details.
Think of it as a catch-all.
Okay.
For information that doesn't fit elsewhere. You might see press FR.
Press F.
Which means the pressure is falling rapidly.
Okay.
A sign that weather conditions are changing.
Hmm.
Possibly for the worse.
Not good.
Or you might see something like OCNL LTGICCG.
OCNL LTGICG.
Which translates to occasional lightning in the clouds and to the ground.
Oh, okay. That one is a bit scary. I'm picturing those dramatic lightning strikes illuminating the airport.
It definitely paints a vivid picture,
Yeah.
and it highlights why those remarks are so important. They provide additional context and insight that can help pilots make informed decisions.
So it's not just about decoding the abbreviations.
Right.
It's about understanding the story those abbreviations are telling.
You got it. A METAR is like a puzzle,
Yeah.
and each piece contributes to the overall picture of the weather at that moment in time.
This is incredible. I'm starting to feel like I can not only read a METAR, but I can also get a sense of the bigger weather story it's telling.
That's fantastic. And we're not done yet. We still need to talk about temperature,
Okay.
dew point,
Right.
and that all-important altimeter setting. Those elements might seem straightforward,
Yeah.
but they play a crucial role in aviation safety.
I'm ready to dive in. Bring on the next chapter of our METAR adventure. We've journeyed through the secret language of METARs, deciphering airport codes, wind patterns, and even those dramatic thunderstorm warnings.
And now we arrive at the final elements: temperature, dew point, and altimeter setting. They might seem less exciting than lightning strikes, but they're just as crucial for pilots.
Okay, I'm all ears. What makes these seemingly simple numbers so important?
Let's start with temperature and dew point. Remember, dew point tells us about the moisture in the air.
Right, the closer the dew point is to the actual temperature, the more humid it feels.
Exactly. And that humidity is key for pilots. If the temperature and dew point are very close, especially as temperatures drop, it's a big warning sign.
A warning sign for what?
Fog. Think about, those mornings when everything is damp and hazy. That's when the temperature and dew point are almost the same. Fog significantly reduces visibility, making takeoff and landing extremely risky.
So a pilot sees a small difference between temperature and dew point on the METAR. That's their cue to be extra alert for potential fog.
Precisely. It's one of those subtle but crucial details they need to be aware of. And speaking of crucial details, let's talk about the altimeter setting.
I remember that's all about air pressure, right? Something about setting the altimeter correctly for accurate altitude readings.
You got it. Air pressure changes constantly, depending on the weather. The altimeter setting in a METAR tells pilots what to set their altimeter to so it accurately reflects their altitude above sea level.
But why is that so important? Don't planes have other instruments to measure altitude?
They do, but the altimeter is still a primary instrument, especially during landing. Eventually trying to land in low visibility, relying on your altimeter to tell you how high you are above the ground. If the altimeter setting is wrong, even by a small amount,
That could be disastrous. A pilot might think they're higher than they actually are and risk hitting the ground before they're ready.
exactly. So even though temperature, dew point, and altimeter setting might seem like basic numbers, they play a huge role in keeping flights safe.
It's incredible how everything in a METAR is connected, each element building on the others to create this complete picture of the weather.
That's the beauty of these reports. They condense so much information into a few lines of code. And once you understand the language, it's like unlocking a whole new level of awareness about the world around us.
I definitely feel like I've gained a new perspective on weather and aviation thanks to this deep dive.
And remember, METARs are just one piece of the puzzle. Pilots use them in conjunction with other weather data, their own experience, and good judgment to make safe decisions in the air.
It's a reminder that even with all our technology, human skill and observation are still essential.
Absolutely. So the next time you see those scrolling weather reports at the airport or hear pilots discussing METARs, you'll have a whole new appreciation for what they represent.
I know I will. Thanks for taking us on this fascinating journey into the world of METARs. It's been an eye-opening experience.
It's been my pleasure. And to our listeners, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep looking up at those ever-changing skies.